Well, brethren, we find ourselves at the close of a series of lessons that are generally fixed up and studied and prepared 6 weeks ahead of time. And so this one was. And the idea of our worship of God is very specific in God's Word as to how we are to worship God. Our Lord Jesus, when He came to this earth, was worshipped by the angel band. And by those who came and worshipped at His feet, bowing down toward Him, He was in fact to them represented as the Son of God. The idea of worship Jesus taught to the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. These words are said right after He said, God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Notice what He said before. He said just one verse before. God wants true worshipers, and He seeks true worshipers to worship Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they were not truly worshiping God. As they participated in what they call the Lord's Supper, He said, it's not the Lord's Supper you're partaking of, it's your own supper. And what they had done is make that supper meaningful to them in their mind only, and that was the idea that they didn't have God in their minds. They did not worship Him in that way, and they were eating and drinking condemnation to their soul as they partook of the Lord's Supper. What they call the Lord's Supper was not the Lord's Supper in meaning to them at all. Perhaps it was the idea of the loaf itself. Perhaps it was the idea of the grape juice itself. Whatever it was, they had their minds completely away from the spiritual side of the body and blood of Christ. And they were eating and drinking condemnation for their souls. Paul, writing to them, urged them to repent of this, turn away from this. And these brethren did so. In 2 Corinthians, they're praised for their repentance and praised for their changing their ways of life. We presume that means everything off 1 Corinthians that they were amiss in doing. That they were people who really, truly began to worship the Lord as they partook of the bread and as they partook of the fruit of the vine, remembering the body and the blood of Christ. If they did not do that, then we presume, as the words of Paul were accurate before, they would still be accurate then. They were not actually partaking of the Lord's Supper. They were eating and drinking condemnation to their own souls. The idea of true worship to God is the idea of in spirit and in truth. And it's the idea of being a worshiper of God according to the rules that He has set forth. In the worship of God, in singing, there are rules set forth by this. Reading in Ephesians 5 at 19 and Colossians 3 at 16 and 17, we read how that we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. As we speak to one another in the words that are being said, we remind one another of the love of God, the blood of Christ, the wonderful blessings of God to come, the challenges of life for sin, the time of the judgment to come. All these type of topics are in songs that we sing. But as we sing those songs, do we sing it from the heart? He says there in this regard that we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That means that there are spiritual ideals about it. There's more to it than just the words being said. And so we look for the spiritual meaning, a spiritual entity about it. But more than this, we're to be people who sing in such a way that we really enjoy this from deep within each one of us. It is the case that we are to speak to God and that we're to speak to Him from our heart. This is the word that Jesus used back in Matthew 18 when He said, if you do not from your heart forgive those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. If you do not from the heart forgive those, The idea of the heart being used as a standard whereby the soul is involved in it. These are specific teachings regarding the worship of God and the service of God in our daily walk of life. Let's consider the subject of prayer and how prayer is such an important matter. In 1 Corinthians 14, vivid description is given of a terrible time in the church at Corinth, how they were misusing the languages that they could speak, and how that they were doing them in such a way that even their preaching and their singing and their praying was not right. They were being corrected in that matter. How were they praying and not being acceptable to God? How were they calling the name of the Lord and speaking to Him and not being acceptable to God? I believe it's the idea that the heart was not in it. Words were said. They got as high as the ceiling, as the reflection in the building was. But that was as far as it came. It didn't get all the way to glory. It wasn't all the way accepted by God. Wonderful is the blessing. John, in the book of Revelation, twice, finds himself caught up in the revelation that's being delivered. The angelic band that is delivering this, he is enthralled with what they're saying. And twice, John bows down to worship that angel. Both times, that angel says, "Do this not, rise up." One time saying the following, "I am also a fellow servant as you." I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the one who sent me to you. And as you are serving the Lord here on this earth, don't do this and worship me. I am serving Him. And He doesn't want you to do this. John, to his credit, stood up, got up. But again, before the revelation closes, he will bow before that angel in worship mode. And he will again be corrected in that matter. Do not do this, it is said. No idea that, but it's emphatic words. Stop. Don't do this. Don't worship me. As that angel served the cause of God and delivered what the message of God was to John to write in this revelation, he was serious about how it was to be done. And he knew the Heavenly Father's will was not for John to get caught up in the situation and then fall down and worship that angel, rather than worship the Almighty who had given that word to him to be delivered to John. When we find these things being taught in the Bible, we find the following four or five things a part of our lives. Spiritually, we're to be people who worship God in spirit and in truth. According to His teaching, according to His will, what is true and accurate, were to be people like that. When the brethren at Corinth did not do this according to truth, but they messed up the Lord's Supper and messed up their preaching and messed up their prayers, they were corrected to change that so that their prayers would be acceptable to God, their way of life would be acceptable to God as they worshiped Him in the Lord's Supper, and their preaching of the gospel wouldn't be left by those who leave out saying these people are insane when they speak in these languages we don't understand and somebody wants us to do something. We obviously see that that's the case, but we don't know what they said. We don't understand a word of what they said. Where Paul says he'd rather speak four or five words in an unknown tongue. No, four or five words easily understood than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. When that was powerful things there to preach and to teach the gospel to nations of people in their own language, it was wonderful for that to be done. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, begin at verse 11 there, you read where these men heard them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It was a wonderful thing for them to preach and teach the message of God. And they praised God that they could understand clearly what was being said by these apostles to them. And we understand in our tongues wherein we were born the wonderful works of God. I have an idea that in those particular sermon delivered, there was a reference made back to the beginning in the creation. And how God had his son, a great plan. And through Abraham, that son was to come. And he's come to earth, and his heirs are here on earth. And the praise that's given to him for sending his son to deliver us from our sins. And the angel announced that, did he not, to Mary? He will come and deliver his people from their sins. How wonderful it is to have this to happen in our daily walk of life, where we can be delivered from our sins. And who we have the words to say of how thankful we are to God for that purpose, for that will, for that gift. He has forgiven us of our sins. We were amiss. We were missing the mark. We were away from God. He called us back by his word. He called us back to responsibility. He loves us and will forgive us of our sins. This God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. This God wants the brethren to understand the meaning of the Lord's Supper and significance of that truth. And John, he wants to understand that you can't get caught up in the things of what I've said and be favorable to me when you bow and worship a creature that's been made by me rather than worship me, the Creator. When we think about the Creator, we go to Hebrews chapter 1. And we recognize the verses that are said there clearly about the presence of God. In Hebrews 1, it is noted to you and me that he made all things by the word of his power and upholds these things by the word of his power. He is the great Creator. And it was the case that he delivered his word by way of the prophets in days gone by. Hath in these last days spoken this word by his Son, whom he hath ordained heir of all things, and made all things by his presence. Jesus did the great creation. The Heavenly Father was there, and the wonderful praise for the Son is there given. And there's the message that he had for them to be delivered and to be faithful servants to God. Let's then, as we study the Word of God on the specifics and generics, not get caught up in the brilliance of the vessel that contains the Lord's Supper. I've seen some, and these are very, very pretty. These have reflection. These have a wonderful presence to them. But don't get caught up in these things. I remember the old song leader at Denial Church. We had wooden floors in the Nile Church at that time. And as people would sing, they would tap their toe. It's a natural process, I think, of mankind to tap his toe. Well, when everybody taps their toe on a wooden floor, there is the sound of a percussion sound that's going on. And sometimes it would be so much involved. He would stop from a verse of a song and say, whoa, wait a minute, y'all. We are tapping our toe a little too loudly. Let's remember the words of these songs and apply them to our heart. And we continue to verse 2 and verse 3 of that song. Well, that reminded me of this idea in this sermon tonight. We could get caught up in the colorful ways and the shininess and the brilliance. We could get caught up in the sound that was going on. And a lot of people have done that in our day and time. They're caught up in the enjoyment of the occasion. And I'm fearful that they're not caught up in what God wants to have come to his portals of glory. And see that they're true worshipers who are worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. When we find ourselves not thinking about God as we sing, as we pray, even as we meditate on the Lord's Supper, as we find ourselves in the opportunity to be studying His Word, let there be a part of our heart that is so involved in that matter that we miss the next point that's being made. And we have to go back and listen to it on the internet now to see the point that was being made. Let's be sure that we do bow before God as we worship Him in spirit and in truth. The song of invitation provided tonight, if you're subject to Jesus' invitation, think about the lesson that we have in mind and come to Him as we stand and as we sing from your heart. Just stand and sing.
Careless soul, why do you linger?
Wandering from the fold of God. Hear ye not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God.
Careless soul,
thank you for your thoughts and minds. You're certainly in our continuation of prayer in this whole week. Thanks for this. In every way, thank y'all for your time. And appreciate the congregation here and the friendships that we have through the years that are reminded. This good extra contribution today didn't come about because we simply exist. We existed in the mind of somebody doing something good and helpful. And we're thankful for it. And we'll use it that way, I'm sure.
We'll turn to number 483. 483, and after this song, Dean, will you lead us in a word of prayer?
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, His army shall be lead. Till every foe is vanquished, for Christ is Lord in thee.
Someday in heaven. We ask you to forgive us our many sins.